Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610, about an hour away from the fellas of the drive getting going. And I'm sure they're probably already on their way to the boot.
Oh, they're probably already a couple in.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't doubt it. Go out and say what's up to the fellas. Get you some crawdads.
Mm-hmm.
Some crawfish, crayfish, whatever you want to call
them. I say crawdads, too, and some people judge me for that.
It's just fun.
Yeah.
It sounds quaint and folksy.
Mm-hmm. That's how I grew up calling them crawdads.
Oh, I didn't grow up calling them crawdads. I just like saying crawdads.
Okay.
I mean, like, why would you not?
Yeah.
If you have an objection to me saying crawdads, please let me know. Mm-hmm. I like hearing from the people. 713-572-4610. In addition, in fact, you can't tell me why you don't like me saying crawdads if you don't tell me the last time you raced, because that has been making me smile.
Mm-hmm.
To be fair, though, I'm not enjoying the fact that so many of you have been getting hurt. It's just, I appreciate
you kind of are.
All right, maybe a little. I do have a little bit of a 4 years ago was the last time
you got confirmation
4 years ago, which means I was 29 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, maybe that I wasn't as old as I thought I was. I think I could still pull it off. I could still pull it off right now. I probably could. All right. A legend. Three legends in the game got together for a little podcast. It's the Goat Talk Podcast. Appreciation of the Texans media for putting it together. And J.J. Watt was one of those three legends, along with Jonathan Joseph and Andre Johnson. And they got together for this podcast. I found it really, really interesting. So I wanted to circle back to it. And I mean, it's a really good listen. It's an hour long. And there's some various things that are really fun, including, and this is a cut two here, Byron. This is the first time that JJ, young JJ, went out with Andre Johnson. So before I have Byron play this, apparently, you know, in the locker room when Andre, mm-hmm. I mean, he's a personable guy. However, like, he also did not talk a lot. I know that we're not surprised by that.
Deep voice, low tone. Man, a few words, but you better be listening to him.
Right.
You better be listening
and
to
him. And that's very much the way the people felt. So, like, for JJ, as he's telling this story, this is where it starts. It starts with the feeling that, hey, man, Andre Johnson, when he talks, you listen. And especially when he invites you to go somewhere, you definitely say yes.
It was my rookie year. Andre was like, let's go out. I literally was like, you talking to me? Like, I look at him. And he was like, yeah. So it was just me and Andre, and I'm literally, like, sweating. I'm like, holy shit. Like, I'm out with Andre. He's like, all right, we're going to go to Washington. I pull up on Washington. Like, hey, we go to the door. The doorman's like, I'm sorry, sir, you can't come in.
Because of my shoes.
Because of his shoes. They were, like, all white. And I was like, what? And he was like, no. He's like, you can't come in, man. And I go, that's Andre Johnson. Like, I was like, that's Andre Johnson. He's like, I don't care. And all of a sudden, this manager came, like, sprinting out of the back. And he's like, no, they're good. They're good. I was like, yeah. You psychopath. Like, we're in Houston, Texas, and you're going to tell Andre Johnson he can't come in? He could be wearing flip-flops if he wants.
I'm amazed that there was anybody in Houston at any given point that did not, like, readily know Andre Johnson, especially, like, if you in that type of industry, right? If you are...
I disagree.
Really?
You give a guy a yellow windbreaker, all of a sudden they think they are it. It's their way or the highway. I say yellow windbreaker because that's what they use at stadiums a lot. But you give that guy, a doorman, that authority, he's like, I don't care who you are, Andre, can I have an autograph? But you can't come in, you know? It happens all the time.
How long do you think it would happen before JJ got that level of treatment? Because obviously this is early JJ before we even get to that space.
Yeah, probably 1 year. It was after that, you know, after he became a superstar in that Cincinnati playoff game, probably everything changed.
Yeah. So I found that to be a funny
one thing about Andre,
anecdote,
though. Yeah. You know, being around the team a little bit and knowing Andre a little bit, as low key as he is and just a good, solid, he loves to go out with his teammates.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's just his way of saying, like, he went out a lot. Now, he wasn't a wild man. He just liked to go, you know, hang out with his guys.
Right. I think if memory serves, like, that's kind of in part how the Courtland Finnegan beef came about.
Absolutely it is. That's right.
Him and his people being out, mm-hmm. and then just a level of disrespect.
Hey, that's Courtland Finnegan, man.
Yeah, right. And then eventually he had to
say, I'm going to beat his ass.
That's right. Which, again, I think during the course of this podcast, he also reiterated he has to answer about that literally every day of his life. But thankfully, it's a good thing. Yeah. Thankfully, it is indeed a good thing. All right. How about this? This is, and we know this, J.J. Watt, it was announced, what was that, a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. that he is now going to move from a studio role for CBS into the booth. He will be an analyst on, I think it's basically the B team for CBS Sports. He's working with Ian Eagle as an analyst now in this upcoming season. And I found this to be interesting because, I mean, look, they were just kind of talking about life and talking about where he is. And Andre asked J.J., how he enjoys working in TV. And I thought there was something that JJ offered up willingly that I think is going to make him an incredible, incredible broadcaster.
Good. Like, I love still being around ball. I love being able to talk football. Like, it would be very weird if I didn't have some tie to the game because I love watching it, talking about it, breaking it down. At the same time, I have a very difficult time criticizing guys because, like, I was on the field. Like, I know. Like, you got a guy who's breaking down film and he's drawing up the plays and you're like, that's not my assignment. That's not my job. And you just threw all this blame on me on national TV. So I never want to be that guy. So I'm always very careful from that standpoint. But it has been really, really fun still being a part of the game.
So what part of that made you think he'd be really, really good? Because I think that might be when we're like, oh, well.
Well, I think that what it...
Because Tom Brady got criticized for not really criticizing people. Other people have done that as
sure.
well.
Sure. And I don't think that it's necessarily that he won't criticize. But I think I took that to mean he's going to be very careful and very measured in his criticism. And I think that just it's going to point to the way that he's going to be very methodical and care
analytical.
Very deeply about his work. And maybe not even that he's just going to stay to the analytics, but that he's going to be like he's thinking about it deeply in that way.
Yeah. Right? No, I don't mean analytical. I mean like analytical of what's happening.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I took that to mean he's gonna hit you with EPA.
No,
all the time
God,
the broadcast.
No. That's your job.
That's right. but no, I guess now that you say that, I can hear how maybe that operates in the other way where you're like, okay, but you're not.
Yeah, you're paid.
You're
to
not
be
analyzing this, right?
Opinionated, you know.
But that's the thing that I feel about. Like, I don't think JJ has ever not been opinionated. I think though, like the caution and care that he's going to give and take his job with, I think matters. And I think that also speaks to the reason I feel about that is JJ is a hard worker, man. Like JJ's never not been a worker, so I don't believe him to like not come to the job with that level of work.
Yeah.
I just appreciate that. With that work, he's also going to bring like that compassion that we've seen him have. Like I still remember, and this is when he ended up in Arizona. I think it was Hard Knocks, where, and I can't remember who the player was on the practice field, but somebody had dropped the pass, and he was really beating himself up on the sideline.
I think it was Moore.
Was it Rondale Moore?
Yeah,
I believe that sounds about right. Rondale Moore was beating himself up, and he was like, "Did it hit your hands? Ah, yeah, you're supposed to catch it." Of his hands, and it was like basically trying to line it up with a joke. He's like, "No, man, you dropped it, and then we're gonna go back out here,
yeah,
and catch the next one. Like, just make that the opportunity to catch the next one. Like, that's what JJ's always brought is that level of like care and compassion."
It'll be interesting to watch because remember Sean Payton refused to say anything remotely opinionated because he knew he was gonna come back and coach, you know,
right.
And he didn't want to criticize players individually. It'll be interesting to watch. I think JJ is gonna be, as you mentioned, prepared enough and know the job enough to bring fair opinion and sometimes criticism, but at the same time you want to watch, make sure he's not being like too protective, you know?
For sure.
Yeah.
How about this as we continue with JJ's appearance on the Goat Talk podcast with Jonathan Joseph and Andre Johnson. This is 7 here. They asked it flat out, what was the biggest thrill of you being a Texan?
Biggest thrill as a Texan.
In my opinion, it's by far that first playoff run that we had. And then obviously the second year backing it up and trying to go again. But winning our first ever playoff game for an organization, everything that came with it, nothing better. Like, those memories are something that I will cherish for the rest of my life.
Is there anything else that could have replaced that answer for you, for JJ?
I don't think so. That's still, you know, I put that on my list. You know, whenever I talk about, you know, greatest Texans moments, et cetera, that was an unbelievable scene. It was an unbelievable moment that he had.
The interception?
Yeah. And the pick six. And it's to this day the loudest I've ever heard NRG. That's number one. That's got to be. As much as he did after that. He had 21, you know, sack seasons.
Right.
But I still think that's it. Yeah.
Right. And I think that you're right. And I think that that's what ultimately, like, the goal is to get back to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is to have that type of
energy.
That type of energy mm-hmm. again. And hopefully you get to that space. But you mentioned, like, just some of the heights that he reached. And I thought this was, I really enjoyed that they got into this aspect of it because mm-hmm. Andre was, you know, kind of talking to JJ about how wild it is that, you know, that family produced three professional football players and two of them at an incredibly high level.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, JJ was kind of talking about that. And I love this little jab that happens in here.
How lucky are we that we get to have these conversations at the highest level of the game that nobody else ever gets to have? Like, it's, to us, it's the coolest thing in the world that my brother calls me and asks about an NFL pass rush move because we both got to do it at this level. It's really, really cool, man. And I've always said it, but I truthfully hope he breaks every single record I've ever had, and I think he probably will. But if we're talking about best single year ever,
I knew that was correct.
Best single year ever.
But he's gonna have the better career. He's gonna have the better career. But there's a 4-year stretch where he couldn't touch it.
Facts.
And I was like,
facts.
There was laughs in here, but it's because it's objectively.
That ain't going to happen.
I can't see it. I can't see it happening.
That ain't going to happen.
All right, so I'm going to do something that's blasphemous.
Derek?
I was going to Will.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, what about Derek?
Oh, well, no. I'm not one of those people that's going to bleep on Derek.
He said my brother, singular.
Well, yeah, but I mean, we were talking about the dudes that are still playing and the dudes that played at that very high level. Derek got him some NFL money. Ain't no shame.
No bit.
In his game.
Yeah.
But like Will Anderson Jr., when mm-hmm. it comes to, like, because I thought about this, I'm like, TJ has gotten so far in his career and he's been incredible. He's, you know, defensive player of the year caliber player. But I think he's far enough along that, yeah, I don't know that you can see him mm-hmm. touching JJ Watt. And of course, touching JJ Watt's career, the heights of the career, that's not an easy task for any individual. But you got Will Anderson Jr. here and he has already proved himself to be an incredible caliber player. We've talked about him being, you know, on the precipice of being in those defensive player of the year conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see a, I guess, like a pseudo brother in a way, right? Like
yeah.
a brother in Texans brotherhood maybe reaching those heights?
That's a big ask. You know, you look at JJ.
I know, I'm setting him up to fail here. I apologize.
Well, no, not to fail. He's going to be an incredible player. He is an incredible player. But you got to keep this in mind. JJ's first 20-sack season was his second year.
That's right.
I mean, it was like he was 23 years old and had 20 and a half sacks. So that's, I mean, that Will Anderson's already past that. He, you know, he's going into his third season.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a big, big, big ask. And then just, you know, that also, you know, Will Anderson has Danielle Hunter on the other end. And, you know, there's some other little factors as well.
But that was one of the things that was cool to listen. I don't have a specific cut of it, but JJ Watt, like, showing the love. Because, of course, you have two guys that mm-hmm. were, you know, yeah, two of these guys were in that same defense room, and then obviously Andre loomed large enough mm-hmm. on that team where they were talking about a lot of the various players on that team that he felt like added to him. I mean, I specifically remember Brady Jane, mm-hmm. right? Like the portions that he added just in that final season of his career with JJ and the ways in which he still to this day is grateful
yeah.
to Brady. So, like, you know, it's always a village of people that help somebody get to that spot. So I found that to be really fun as well. All right. Let me get to this. This is, can you give me eight here? And this is actually more Andre than JJ. Mm-hmm. This is JJ asking Andre about something that I think we all kind of think about Andre Johnson, a Hall of Famer, rightfully so, the first one to go in for the Texans. But JJ Watt asked him if he ever wondered what his career would look like if he had gone to an established team rather than a franchise that was
expansion
is what I was looking for.
You know, to be honest, Jay, I never thought about it. Like, I always tell people it was my first Pro Bowl, and I remember it. So, you know, when they call the teams up mm-hmm. to take the pictures, and I was the only guy there from the Texans. And when they said the Houston Texans, the guy was like, who the hell is here from the Texans? And I was like what? Like, it was almost like it was disrespect, you know? And I'm not going to lie, bro. Like, that's something that fueled me. Like, I took that disrespect and I was just like, you know what? Like, when you think about the Texans, you're going to think about me, you know? And that was always like my attitude. That was the way I approached it. For me to go somewhere that was already established, like I don't think I might have won or, you know, experience a little bit more success. But I think the way that this happened and the relationships I was able to build just with the city and the fans, I wouldn't change it for nothing more.
Yeah, I believe every single word that he said, because we know what Andre is, you know, the kind of class that he shows and the career he had, et cetera. I do think, and you know, before the draft, he was probably one of those people too. Like, oh, you know, of all the teams I could go to, I don't know about the Houston Texans. I mean, and it made sense. It's not critical. I mean, they were in their second year of existence when they drafted J.J. Watt. But once he's here, like everybody in Houston, like once you get to Houston, it's like, oh, it gets in your blood, you know. And I think that's the case with him.
Yeah. So it was a really fun podcast. I mean, it's worth listening if you just love reminiscing and getting into the minds of those goats, I guess, in a way, when it comes to goat talk, with J.J. Watt, Andre Johnson, J-Jo. That was a really cool listen. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. I appreciate you guys on the text line, the Jim Allen, the Texas Hammer text line, still getting involved on when was the last time that you ran or raced from the 832. Last time I raced was a year ago in my senior year of college, and it was around 2 a.m. after a night out, and everyone wanted to test their 40 times.
Ooh, I didn't end
okay.
Well.
Okay, they're just outside of college, so like it, that was all that he gave me. So I'm assuming that everything went well.
All I needed to hear was 2 a.m. or whatever he said.
But if it's the senior year of college,
yeah, that's true.
You're probably fine, right? That's normal operating hours for that.
Yeah.
And I appreciate Mudbugs, not Crawdads. All right, whatever you call them, Mudbugs, Crawdads, Crawfish. Mm-hmm. Make sure you get out to the boot to go see Clint and Ron, who are broadcasting out there today from 2 to 6. We'll talk to them here shortly, but not before we get to Figgy's mixtape. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Typically, we hand over to Figgy for the mixtape. Today, John Lopez.
You're darn right.
What you got for us?
All right, you want to see a grown-ass 40-something-year-old man effectively end his life in 2 minutes?
Are you talking about racing still?
No.
Oh, okay.
This is must listen.
Okay.
Yeah.
He says must listen, so we'll do that.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Next.
Aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is. Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610. I am not Figgy.
That's true.
But I'm so glad I'm doing this today. Eventually people always get exposed. Bad people get exposed eventually. They might be a
what
year.
What are you trying to say about Figgy?
No. I've transitioned. What is happening?
Figgy goes on. Figgy takes a day off and all of a sudden,
Let me tell you the real story about
Figgy. That's insane.
No, I'm talking about this. Okay, so I got to give some background here.
Okay.
Because Lopez is going to talk about fishing. Well, kind of, but let me give you some background. So this video, which happened on April Fool's Day, and it's not an April Fool's joke.
Okay, I was like, how voracious is this?
I got it day before yesterday. Somebody sent it to me. So
is it a video of Sean Bajani saying that he was going to beat Seth's ass?
No, it's actually better.
Okay.
So this is the most viral video I can remember ever that has to do with fishing. And it's now in the mainstream. Some people have probably already seen it. But here's the background. So there's a kid, 21 years old or thereabouts, out fishing near Punta Gorda in Florida, fishing by this bridge. And he's out there before dawn. And this boat comes barreling through between him and another boat. Okay. Which is bad to begin with at dark, you know. One of the boats didn't have their lights on, which is bad on them, but it wasn't this kid, all right? So he's near this bridge, and it come to find out, because the boat that barreled through comes back after daybreak, okay? And he is a United States Coast Guard licensed fishing guide that did that.
Okay.
That's just the beginning. He's 40-something years old. He said that he was, well, anyway, you'll hear some of this, but he blows his freaking mind. He loses his mind on this kid who's fishing by himself now, to the point that he's cursing him out, and you'll hear it. I got to set it up first. Boards the kid's boat to try to kick his butt, which, by the way, is a violation of international maritime law no matter what body of water you're on. They're in Florida Bay system. So right there, that's piracy. That's a crime. You can go to jail just for that. But listen to the video, and I have some more after-the-fact videos that are kind of head-spinning.
Bro, I said, bro, you almost f***ing hit him. The other dude was f***ing cussing you out.
I almost hit him because he didn't have his f***ing lights on.
Bro, you shouldn't come flying through the middle of the bridge. You know people fish here, bro. I'm sorry, man. I don't know if that's what you want to hear, bro.
Yeah, you should apologize.
But, bro.
On the water more than you can possibly fathom in your wild.
Me. Me too, bro. I'm out here all the time, bro.
I'm 300 days a year on the water.
All right,
every
bro.
Every day, I'm the best charter captain you'll ever meet in your life.
All right, bro.
Cuss me out.
Chill, bro. Chill,
that's when
bro.
He's getting
please,
on his boat.
Bro. Please, okay.
He's on
please,
the kid's
bro.
Boat trying to beat him.
Please, bro. Please, bro. Bro, I'm a kid, bro. Please.
Apologize.
Oh, I'm sorry, bro. I'm sorry, bro.
You're going to cuss me the
all right, bro.
In the middle?
No, bro. Please, bro. Please, bro. Okay. Please.
Apologize.
I'm sorry, bro. That was not me, bro.
Yes, it was, brother.
I know I was here, but my buddy was
take
on the boat. Sir,
boat.
I'm a kid, bro. Please, bro.
I don't care. You don't yeah. cuss me
yes.
the out.
All right.
Talk shit to me.
Yes, sir.
You don't do it.
I'm sorry, man. I wasn't, like, cussing you out,
yes,
though, bro.
Yes, you were, dude.
I was driving the boat. Okay.
Did you not call me a
no, bro.
Yes,
that was
did,
that
bro.
Was my friend on the. Okay, I'm okay. sorry, bro.
That was your friend on the boat.
I'm sorry, bro.
Your friend, are looking at it. And come
yes,
on
sir.
Your and both up.
Yes, sir.
Do it again and watch what happens.
Get back on this boat.
So he. So
this is a captain.
Well, he wanted you to know that.
And he said he's the greatest guide that's ever lived or something like that.
The dude who yells his bona fides at you, jerk or no joke? No joke.
Absolute jerk.
Because I'm like, yeah. He's like, I'm out here all the time. I'm like, so you should probably do better.
He
then,
had
right?
the kid mistakenly confused with someone else, number one. And I number mean, two, loses his mind.
I was like, even if he didn't.
Yeah, and number three, he had people on his boat. You could hear at the very end, one of the guys that were like,
get on the boat.
That he took fishing said, get back on this boat. And to hop on another person's boat, a kid, and
well, he's 21.
21, whatever. A kid to me. And try to beat him all on the premise of falsehoods. And by the way, here's the epilogue, okay?
Okay, epilogue.
This captain's name, and I do want to put it out there.
Oh.
Of course.
Is that?
This captain's name, professional guide, his name is Brock Horner, okay? he said,
not a real name.
Earlier in the video, he said, I'm an Army Ranger. Well, now that it's all out.
Oh, no.
He was in the Army, but he worked in HR.
Oh, that's so.
He said he was an Army Ranger.
Even more of a jerk.
Right.
The person who lies about their bona fides, not just yells their bona fides at you, but also lies about their bona fides.
Yeah.
Definitely a jerk. We don't have to do the or nor jerk.
He
definitely
called himself the greatest captain out there. He's also, it's a mystery how he even got his captain's license because there are a lot of checks and balances. He's been arrested at least 12 times before.
Why am I not surprised about that?
Including multiple times for battery. So he was going to beat this kid's, you know, if, you know, whatever. The video was 2 days ago. And this kid was just trying to go fishing, and he had him confused with someone else. Okay, since the video's been released, it also has been found out, not only the arrest, not only the lie about being an Army Ranger, he had sponsors on his website.
Oh, those are gone.
That weren't his sponsors.
Oh, okay, so they weren't there to
begin with. He downloaded logos and said this company and this company. A lot were not his sponsors. And then there were some that were his sponsored, that have already released statements like, we're out, we don't want anything to do with this guy. His boat, and he got thrown out of the marina where he kept his boat. And even the boat company, Pathfinder Boats, who didn't sponsor him, but he drove a Pathfinder boat, like disassociated themselves with him, canceled all relationships, said they never sponsored him and never intended to sponsor him. And so, you know, as we're here in the mixtape, first of all, this is incredible. He effectively ended his life in 2 minutes.
Well, and you can't hear it through the microphone, but I'm smiling because it's nice to see that sometimes in this world, comeuppance does come. There's an ancient proverb. I think you might be familiar with it. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes.
Yeah.
Like that's exactly what happened here. Right. Yeah. Like this is absolutely in this instance. And a great point that I am always cognizant of, especially living in here in the great state of Texas, which is from 979, end up looking like Swiss cheese jumping on boats like that. That's right.
No, it's true.
Like, really? You're just going to step on somebody else's boat? Or you're just going to, like, I think any instance of, like, real aggression, whether it's road rage or anything, I'm always like, all right, but you don't know what that person is toting. You don't know what they got.
Yeah.
Do most, like, fishermen carry a weapon with them?
Not most, no. Okay, but there are some. But this guy lost his freak. First of all, he's unhinged. He's been arrested, including for battery, 12 times.
Dude,
and
crazy.
He's a professional guide. So that kind of is one of the things I wanted to get to here in the mixtape. I've never been happier to see a guy get his than this guy.
Yeah.
Ever. Like, this makes guides who I respect and work with on the podcast, they're truly great people that do things the right way, makes them look so bad, and this guy's just completely deranged.
He built an ego in his head that didn't exist. That's how crazy it is.
Yeah, yeah. He probably believed he was an Army Ranger.
On your own website? That's a whole different level.
He was just plucking logos out of thin air and saying, yeah, you know, so-and-so sponsors me. No, they don't. And then, like he's done. He's done. They didn't have a place to put his boat. But here's the question with the mixtape.
Okay.
What are some abrupt downfalls that you actually took a little joy out of?
Oh, goodness.
Because I was giddy about this. I was giddy. I was like, good. I hope that guy, you know, goes away forever. Now, his lawyer released. He already got a lawyer.
Like, I bet he did.
I apologize.
God bless that lawyer.
I apologize.
I'm always interested in the legal teams or the, PR folks that operate in, like, crisis management. Especially when you know you're dealing with someone who was wilding.
Yeah.
I'm like, because I personally, it'd be a little tough for me to handle that. Like, I'm just out
by
here.
By the way, the kid handled it about as well as you could.
But yeah, I think. I think a young man did what he needed to do for the most part. Like, I think he was operating where.
He was chasing him around the boat. Like, literally chasing the guy around the boat.
He did try and de-escalate. I will say, it felt a little comfortable to hear him go from, like, you know, being pretty, have a little bravado to immediately going to that place where he's like, please. And I'm like, I understand why you're in that place.
I think he was just trying to get rid of this guy.
No,
he thought he was going to die.
But I kind of hate that he had to get to that place.
He thought he was going
to
die.
Downfalls, I was happy to see. Like, it's hard for me to just not focus on this really big one, which I feel like. Deshaun Watson.
Oh, I didn't even think of that one. Yeah, that's a good one.
And what's weird is that, I guess, the offense before we get to the real offense was him, like, feeling like the organization had not, like, supported him well enough.
Mm-hmm.
And there's enough there to maybe get to that place where you're on Deshaun's side.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some of the way that it was handled after that. didn't really love it. And then you find out that all this other stuff is happening. I was cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, in tandem, the Browns in general, just as an organization, kind of stinks. Like, you paid all this money, and now look at you. Look at you.
Mm-hmm.
But the other one that I thought of, not in sports, Bill Cosby. And it's wild because Bill Cosby has, like, objectively done a lot of great things.
Yeah, you would think maybe you're just a little sad about the whole situation.
I really don't
love... But you enjoyed it.
I really don't love people that get their jollies off of talking down to folks. And he did a lot of, like... He did a lot of paternalistic wagging of his finger.
Yeah.
And so, hey, wow, look at all this that you got in your closet. You probably should not be out here operating like you did as if you were holier than thou.
I got a lot of joy, and I'm just being honest, from a couple of televangelists... Because you're taking money from people that don't have a lot of money.
Especially folks that really do believe in this religion. And
yes, they're religious people, or else they wouldn't be in.
Casting a bad picture.
And you're stealing from them under false premise and whatever you think you are. Jim Baker's the old one. You remember Robert Tilton?
That is not a name I have. I'm sorry.
He used to speak in tongues and stuff on his show and was just bilking people out of millions and millions of dollars.
And I can't speak specifically to, but, I mean, especially the ones that are not, like, that are actually indeed scamming. Yeah, absolutely.
And I got to tell you, I kind of took a lot of joy out of R. Kelly, we're being honest.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, yeah. The man was singing about his misdeeds. That's the one that gets
me. That's the one.
I know some people like getting into the, can we separate the art from the artist? The art had him, he called himself the Pied Piper of R&B.
Yes.
If you don't know what the Pied Piper is, do you Google, friends?
Look it up.
Some other ones that came in, Downfall of Jack Easterby.
Yes.
Agreed.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Donald Sterling, former owner of the Clippers. That's a great one.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great one to put up here because, his bona fides went back before that as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those are some of the ones that people sent in as well.
Yeah, and a lot of our listeners have seen and heard that video. It's mainstream now. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if you see it on some of the national news. All right, let's go to a more heartwarming note here, okay? So this video has been making the rounds as well. The boy's name is Madden Orlovsky.
That's right.
And he warmed millions of hearts this week. This is National Autism Awareness Week. Dan Orlovsky, NFL Live. They decorated the set with all of Madden's artwork. And he came in. Orlovsky got, very emotional about it all. But... So they kind of put Madden Orlovsky on the spot. They were asking him questions about the favorite character in movies and such. And then all of a sudden he broke into song.
Hi, man, you only hold up one. Give me a character from one of your favorite movies.
Well, who is Andy's first toy?
Andy's first toy is...
Ooh.
Buzz? Woody.
Woody!
Woody!
You got a friend in me.
And there he goes.
Can he sing too?
Dan.
You got a friend in me.
Oh, got it.
You can draw.
Rub a head and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed.
Yay!
Remember what your old pal said.
He knew every word.
You got a friend in me. Mm-hmm. The most are folks who I feel a little bit smarter than I am. Bigger, strong, but maybe for none of them. Oh, I will love you the
That's
way
good, Byron.
I do.
Everybody in the place had tears in their eyes.
Yeah, well done.
Everyone.
Yeah.
And so it got me thinking about this question as we do Figgy's mixtape here. Most heartwarming moments in sports.
We had another one that was right in that same vein, which was Joe Espada catching the first pitch from his daughter Viviana, earlier this week, again, for Autism Awareness Week. His daughter Viviana is on the spectrum. And can I also say, great pitch by Viviana.
Yes, it was a strike.
It was a strike. Mm-hmm. So, no, that was awesome. Diagnosed with autism in 2017 and apparently has made a remarkable stride. So that was, in that same vein this week, both of those very heartwarming stories. Another one, which I actually saw a video recently of the former football player Devin Still teaching his daughter Leah Still to drive. And if you remember, Leah Still, it was a huge story in sports when she was dealing with cancer as a very young woman. Or, as a girl, really. She was a very young child. And now she's, obviously well. well enough to be talking back to her pops while behind the steering wheel and causing him to try and hit the invisible brake. So you know, that's another heartwarming when it comes to Mom for sure.
I thought of a few. You're going to hear from one here, but I thought of Muhammad Ali lighting the torch at the 96 Olympics. I thought of the Miracle on Ice. I thought of Tiger Woods winning the 97 Masters and running straight to his dad, you know, who was there, you know, from birth, and hugging himself, hugging his dad. And then I thought of Kerry Strug. Yeah.
He is hurt badly. Well, John, we saw her limping after the first ball.
She has either twisted her ankle or something worse. She hurt herself on the first ball. Probably the last thing she should have done was vault again, but she did, and now she is in a lot of pain.
The amazing thing about it, though, John, she raised her hands overhead. Her head, she finished the ball.
Standing on one leg. We have got to find out if she's...
A 9-7-1-2, she has done it.
Kerry Strug has won. Tonight, she was there for Bella, for her team, for her country, and for herself.
First ever American gold medal, team gold medal in gymnastics. Somebody should have written a book about her.
All right. Just go ahead and do it. Just do it fully.
What?
All right, okay. But yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the things about sports is like those types of moments, there's so many of them. Mm-hmm. And those are some of the beautiful part. Like, it's obviously people doing something incredible, and that could be like just incredible athleticism, but also it could be sometimes like overcoming odds or those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Like 346 on the text line, the 2017 World Series, 832. Oh, Dale and Dale Jr.
I had that thought of that one too. Dale Jr. at Daytona right after his dad died.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
And then
you the real MVP.
Oh yes, that was a good one. Mm-hmm. With KD. There's so many various moments. Keep sending those in on the truck or the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. That's the mixtape.
Yeah.
John Lopez at the helm, but typically it's Figgy Fig every weekday, 1:20 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 610. Shout out to our guy. Who is this? Sean Pendergast.
Who is this?
Any video of a walk-on getting a full ride? Fawcett's. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's a solid one, right? They bring him in and, hey, you know, we just want to let you know. And then just the way that guys dogpile in, all sorts of things there. They get the emotions moving. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's see what's happening at the boot with the fellas of the drive. It's Clint and Ron. They're out there. Go see them. But before we get there, all right, who you got? Who you got? Duke, Houston. We'll talk about that and more next. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Atula, Byron Matthews. Appreciate you hanging out with us, Byron, all day long.
Anytime.
We good?
Of course.
There you go.
Just a whole lot of bleeps.
That was a lot of bleeps on that.
You should have saw Reggie's reaction right before you walked in and goes, yeah, man, that's a lot of work right there.
Yes.
And I think it was halfway through the video as well.
Yeah. I put it in writing. I said, hey, man, do a brother a solid.
No, he did. He did.
Again, much appreciation to Chancellor Johnson, who joined us in the first hour of the program to talk a little bit of Cougs. And big, big thanks, Frank Caliendo, jumped on the program at 11:20 to talk about all sorts of things. And he is going to be at the Houston Improv a couple of nights on the two shows on Saturday and one of them on Sunday. Go out and check him out as well. All right. One of the things that's tough, though, he's got one of those during game time. Cougars, Duke Blue Devils. That is Saturday night, 7:49. You'll hear it here on Sports Radio 610. Who you got? Who you got in this game?
I got to do it, right?
I mean, you don't got to do nothing.
Well, I got to pay my bills.
Well, yeah, that's fair. You do got to show up to work, too.
Got to show up to work.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I guess you got to do some things.
I'm going to take the Cougs.
All right.
I'm going to take the Cougs. I you know, who doesn't believe in Kelvin Sampson? I think the defense is some of the best defense I've ever seen, man. And I know it's a tall task, man. It's a tall task, literally.
Yeah,
I gotta figure they're gonna figure out a way. They've always figured out a way here.
I'm really leaning on the idea of Kelvin Sampson being the best coach, and it really helps that you saw just two rounds ago him draw something up at the end of the game, or someone on his staff draw something up. He was holding the board.
Yeah.
Drawing up a play to get you that bucket. And you're going to need that type of execution, which this team does well. Mm-hmm. That kind of focus. Like, this is the elder of the teams. This is the team that has, oddly enough, more experience.
Yeah.
And so I'm leaning on that for the Cougs to skate by the Duke Blue Devils, even though they are an underdog in this. And also, bleep Duke, right? Like, that's got to be a part of
that's
this.
That's a big factor.
Bleep Duke, right?
I hate Duke. Everybody hates Duke that doesn't love Duke.
Yeah, shout out to Payne and Pendergast, the five reason I hate you. They did that for Duke, and I thought that it landed. And also, like, you know, sometimes you just got to say bleep Duke. And I want to turn you to a little bit of audio. This is J.J. Redick, not J.J. Watt, one of those dudes that I imagine a lot of people hate for Duke. This is him having shown a little bit of a I don't know, self-awareness in talking about the most hated players in Duke history.
Four, would you say the most hated Duke players of all time? Are you on it?
Yeah.
Mount Rushmore? Yeah. Christian Laettner, you?
Christian Laettner, me, Grayson. The fourth one's tough.
It is.
No, it's not.
Because I think those three.
Yep.
Speaking honestly, I would probably. I don't know. I think I bridged this weird gap because it was before social media.
Mm-hmm.
But like, Christian Laettner wasn't necessarily dealing with like fan forums either, and message boards. Like, message boards were a thing when I played. So I think me and Laettner would probably be 1-2 in any order, really, depending on how you viewed it. And then Grayson, the fourth. Man.
Come on, dog.
I'll put Wojo there.
Okay.
I'll put Wojo there. That's perfect.
No.
All right. Lopez.
No.
You are a big time college basketball fan. You definitely have watched a good amount of Duke. Probably hate watched it. Why is he wrong?
Well, first of all, don't think so highly of yourself, JJ.
I do love. Even saying people that are hated, he was like, clearly I'm hated.
Yeah, no, you were hated. You don't hold a candle to Christian Laettner. They did a whole documentary on it.
And the documentary is called I Hate Christian Laettner.
Yes. So you're a little full of yourself, which is another reason why, ironically, your arrogance about being hated is part of the reason that we hate Duke. I mean, that's it. But the fourth one is easy. Easy. Bobby Hurley.
Yeah.
It is
the Hurley boy.
Bobby Hurley was hated.
That's a great answer. That is such a good answer. And he's still doing it.
Yes.
I was thinking about all the players that I hate. And I mean, look, there's the obvious thing. I think the fellas in the morning were talking about it. We get the white guys out here, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think that there was a level of white guys versus black guys that was happening a lot.
Yeah.
When we talk about the late 80s, early 90s when it comes to Duke. As well, but I think a lot of this also ended up being kind of a class thing because Duke was some rich folks, and I think like that also filtered over to the black guys because I was thinking about it, I was like
Grant Hill
seems like the nicest dude.
He might be the only Duke person associated with Duke that I don't hate because Krzyzewski was
Coach K's in there.
Yeah.
How do you feel about because I thought about this. I was like Carlos Boozer. Yeah.
Battier I liked here, but I hated him when he was at Duke.
That was the one. I was like, I don't think I can actually hate Shane Battier.
I hated him at Duke. Ah, got away with murder.
He sure did.
He got away with murder.
Yeah, but then
murder.
He became our guy that got away
but
with murder.
But then you like him here because it's all right. Oh, and now I feel differently.
It's like
about
the Pat Beverly. Like Pat Beverly, you hate that guy until he's on your team. And you're like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that works. Kyrie.
Nah.
I feel like we've lost, though.
He's not on the list. Yeah.
No.
There was a little bit of a lull there.
Do you think we're back to it? Because I think
they're hated again.
I do wonder if like the NIL aspect has taken away some of the ability to hate Duke in some ways, or some of the like kind of culture of hating Duke, because like it used to feel like those were the dudes with all the advantages. Or not even the NIL, probably the one and done era. Because it felt like, oh, those are the dudes with all the advantages in a time where in college recruiting and such, where it felt like, you know, facilities and those types of things added in, and Duke had all of this prestige there.
Mm-hmm.
I think once we got to the one and done era and more money kind of filtered into this, it lost some of it. So I wonder, like, are people still holding on to the ability to really hate the bleep out of Duke?
Yes, you can hate Duke right now. I can tell you this as well, and I know we're going to go talk to the boys. You're going to hate the Knipple brothers.
Oh, why is that? Give me someone to hate, please.
Yeah,
because I'm going to be honest, I don't really
hate Knipple is obviously, you know, stud. He's got three brothers.
They all on the team?
One was Mr. Basketball this year in Wisconsin. The other one's going to be a junior next year and was All-State. And then there's a younger one, like in eighth grade, that you know is going to be a stud. the Knipples are going to go to Duke, and then Duke, and then Duke, and then Duke. You're going
to
hate them.
Also, they got the name. They got Nipple in their name.
That's right.
That's a great reason in and of itself to just be like, bleep that. So, yeah, hopefully we get another. Well, all right. I was about to say, hopefully we get another reason to hate them, but I feel like that would indicate that they won.
As if we need one.
So I don't want that. But hopefully the Cougars can handle up and get the fellas out of there, or get them out of there. And now we go to the fellas at the boot on the crawfish tour that gets started today. It's Clint. It's Ron. What's happening, fellas?
What's good, man? I hear you talking about white Duke players.
That's right. Yeah. Who is your most hated Duke player?
That's tough. That's tough. It's Leitner's a little past me. I remember watching Leitner, but I was still young before I knew what to hate. Shane Battier's up there. I'd say probably JJ Redick. Kansas faced them a couple of times, but really, I heard the tail end, and you guys are right. For me, it's Redick, but there hasn't been that hatred for Duke players. The last one, I think, was little Ted Cruz.
Yeah, Grayson.
Yeah, but
how are you going to kick someone and cry? How does that work? How do you assault me and cry?
Smart, man.
Wait a minute. What did I walk in on? What are you guys talking about?
Hated Duke players.
Yeah.
Just hated Duke players, or are y'all talking about white players?
Both.
It seems to come, that seems to where it comes about, right?
They've had some pretty corny black dudes on that.
Agreed. Shane Battier is up there for me.
Glad you said that.
Because Grant Hill's got some corn in him now.
He was a politician.
I love them feelers. Well, come on, don't do that to me.
The politicians are corny. I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll leave that to Ron. Ron, the problem with Ron is it's got that KU really influences.
It sure does.
Well, I don't. And Bobby Hurley is
good
the
call.
Absolute worst.
See, again, like, yeah, I imagine that would be for you because that's a little old. I thought you might go maybe Johnny Dawkins or
I like Johnny
Tommy
Dawkins.
Amaker.
Yeah.
But no, that's a little older for me. Mm-hmm. That before I really got into it.
Yeah.
That punk ass JJ Redick though. He's the one. Now I love him now, but he would get under my gears.
I love him now. Listen to this.
Yeah, that's because he's Team LeBron that's now. Right. He loves
Well, listen, hey
you
man,
know how this works.
Hey, he came around now.
He came around.
Now he's
well.
He's still
I guess Mike Krzyzewski is the number one, right?
Oh, for sure. Man, we were just talking players, but yes, Coach K is it.